This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So have you ever felt as though God had forsaken you? When tragic events take place, we begin to wonder if God really cares, or worse yet, if God is punishing us. For example, maybe you lose your job, and now you're wondering how you're going to pay the mortgage. Maybe your child is killed by a drunk driver. Maybe a hailstorm wipes out your crop and you didn't have insurance to cover the loss. Maybe you're diagnosed with terminal cancer. Or maybe your parents are going through a divorce. Worst of all, maybe you're being persecuted even though you did the right thing, even though you were trying to be faithful to God. That's what happened to King David. He was the author of Psalm 22, you know. Psalm 22 begins with these words, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" The Holy Spirit moved King David to write Psalm 22 during a time in his life when David felt as though God had forsaken him. David had done his best to obey God's will. David had done his best to take a stand for the truth. But the result was that God's enemies threatened to kill David, and so David had to flee for his life. David felt as though God had forsaken him. But deep down, David knew that God was still in control. David believed that God would rescue him somehow. And that's why King David wrote these words, "Yet you, Lord, are enthroned as the Holy One. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved." Now, God did eventually rescue David from his earthly enemies. However, the fact is that David still needed an even greater salvation than that. You see, even though David was a believer, he was also a sinner like you and me. David was by nature an enemy of God, and so David did not deserve any of the blessings that God had given him. Actually, David should have been forsaken by God, because that's what we sinners deserve. And the proof that David was a sinner is that he eventually died, just like you and I must die, because we too are sinners who deserve to be forsaken by God. This coming Wednesday is known as Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. Ash Wednesday is a time to remember that we are dust, and unto dust we must return. You may recall that God created Adam from the dust of the ground, and then God made Eve from one of Adam's ribs. Adam and Eve, and all humans descended from them, we were meant to live in God's love forever. But as you know, Adam and Eve rejected God, and the result of their rebellion was spiritual death and also eventually physical death. As God said to them, "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." These words apply to us too, for we have inherited Adam's sinful heart. For example, in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all, because all sinned." So when we ask God, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" His answer to us should be, "Because that's what you deserve." So is there any hope for us sinners? Yes, absolutely. Let's examine Psalm 22, and we'll find out what that hope is. You see, the amazing thing about Psalm 22 is that it's not all about David. David was inspired to write some things in Psalm 22 that did not apply to him, but were pointing to somebody else. In fact, God's people eventually understood Psalm 22 as a prophecy about the son of David, who was the promised Messiah and Savior who was descended from King David's family line. Now, even though Psalm 22 teaches that this Savior and Messiah would be rejected by God's enemies, in the end, God would save him and then use the Messiah to save those who trusted in him. With that understood, we're now ready to see how the prophecy of Psalm 22 was fulfilled by Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God. The four Gospels record statements that Jesus made while he was on the cross. Today we hear Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, did Jesus actually believe that God had forsaken him? No. Jesus knew that he would conquer death on the third day. But if that's true, why then did Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The answer is that Jesus spoke those words for us. Jesus was actually preaching a sermon from the cross so that we might trust in him. You see, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" what was he doing? He was quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. Jesus spoke those words of Scripture so that we would think about Psalm 22 and then recognize that the psalm was fulfilled in Jesus' death for us. Now, at this point, I want you to pay close attention as I show you how Psalm 22 points you to Jesus and the salvation that he won for you. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8 read, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let God deliver him, since he delights in him." My friends, these words from Psalm 22 were fulfilled in the events described in Matthew chapter 27, which read, and listen to this, "Those who passed by hurled insults at Jesus, shaking their heads. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Did you hear that? Those who were mocking Jesus deliberately applied these verses from Psalm 22 to Jesus. You see, Jesus had claimed to be the Son of David, the promised Messiah. Jesus also said he was the very Son of God. Jesus thereby suggested that Psalm 22 was pointing to himself, which it did. But those who rejected Jesus actually quoted Psalm 22 to mock him while he was on the cross. Next, listen to Psalm 22, verse 15. "My strength is dried up, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." These words from Psalm 22 were fulfilled by Jesus' suffering during his crucifixion. As we read in John 19, verse 28, where the Apostle John writes, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty." Psalm 22, verse 15, never happened to King David, but it did happen to Jesus. Now listen to Psalm 22, verse 16. "A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." That never happened to King David. However, the Romans of Jesus' day would often drive nails into the hands and feet of those being crucified. We know this happened to Jesus because of what the Apostle Thomas said to the other apostles. In John 20, verse 25, we hear these words of Thomas. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I will not believe it." Here yet another example. Psalm 22, verse 18 reads, "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Again, this never happened to King David, but it did happen to Jesus. We can read about this in Matthew 27, verse 38, as well as in John 19, verses 23 through 24, which read, "When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who will get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, 'They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.'" Did you hear that? The Apostle John himself says that this event fulfilled Psalm 22, verse 18. Allow me to share one final example. Psalm 22, verse 22 reads, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation I will praise you." Now these words are not merely about King David. Those words ultimately point to Christ's victory over death. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews makes this very point. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read, "Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.'" Now, even though King David wrote those words, the words themselves belong to Jesus. So now you can see why many people thought of Psalm 22 while Jesus was dying on the cross. In fact, that's exactly why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was preaching a sermon to them and also preaching a sermon to us so that we might be ready to believe that his death and resurrection for our salvation was the fulfillment of God's word in Psalm 22. But sadly, many still refuse to believe that Psalm 22 was actually being fulfilled by Jesus. That's why some actually quoted Psalm 22 to mock Jesus while he was on the cross. Now, it's easy for us to stand in judgment of those people, but we need to realize that we're also guilty of mocking Jesus with our sins of thought, word, and deed. When we choose to ignore God's will and live as we please, we thereby place ourselves among the enemies of God who pierced Jesus' hands and feet. Again, we dare not deny our own sin while we stand in judgment over those who crucified Jesus, because we too are God's enemies because of our many sins against the Lord. As we heard earlier, we are all under Adam's curse. And so if we ask, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His answer to us ought to be, "Because that's what you deserve. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return." But my friends, the message of this coming Ash Wednesday is not merely about the death we deserve. The ultimate message of Ash Wednesday is about the forgiveness and the life that God gives us because he chose to forsake his own Son so that you and I would not be forsaken. For example, I want you to listen to these wonderful words from 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes, "When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." Today is Transfiguration Sunday. On this day, we remember the time Jesus went up onto a mountain with some of his disciples, and there Jesus revealed himself to them in all his divine glory. But why did Jesus do this? Well, Jesus needed to remind his disciples that he was God, and that he was in control, and that they needed to listen to him. Now, why did Jesus need to remind them of this? Well, just before the Transfiguration event, Jesus had informed his disciples that he was traveling to Jerusalem. Why? In order to suffer, die, and then conquer death 3 days later. But Peter and the other disciples didn't want to hear Jesus talk about suffering and dying. Therefore, Jesus had to remind them that he is God, and that it was his plan all along to suffer and die and rise again in order to save us sinners. You see, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He went to the cross willingly for you. When Jesus was on the cross, the Father was not only forsaking his Son, he was ultimately forsaking him so that you would not be forsaken. Jesus was forsaken so that God might welcome you as his dearly loved child, now and for all eternity. You see, my friends, if people end up in hell, it's not because God wants them there. God forsook his only Son so that no one would have to be forsaken. If people end up in hell, it's because they cling to their sin and reject the Savior God has given them. If we reject Christ, if we cling to our sin and turn from God, then even though it breaks God's heart, the only thing left for him to say to us then is, "Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. You are forsaken." But my friends, God doesn't want to speak those words to you. That's why Jesus speaks his cross words to us. He speaks his words from the cross so that we might repent of our sin and receive mercy and new life from him. Just like that one thief on the cross. Jesus' cross words are words of love for you. Think about it. Even while Jesus was suffering physical agony, more horrible than we could begin to comprehend, even while Jesus was bearing the weight of your sin and the sin of all people, he still loved you enough to preach a sermon for you. And the cross was his pulpit. Jesus quoted Psalm 22 so that you could see how this prophecy of King David was fulfilled when God's Son died for you. So my friends, when you come to God with the weight and shame and guilt of your sin and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can be sure that God will never forsake you. Because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you can face death itself with the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life with the God who loves you. Because of Jesus, you can live now in this world as God's dearly loved and forgiven child. Because of Jesus, these words from the end of Psalm 22 actually apply to you. Listen to these words. "All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive." You see, no matter how hard we try, We cannot keep ourselves alive. But God will give us new life from the dust of the ground when Jesus returns in glory. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did the Father forsake his only Son? Because the Father does not want to forsake you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.